My name is Timothy Anthony, and I'm here with my father, Keith Anthony. I'm interviewing him on March 31st, 2020. We are completing this interview as part of a project with the University of Cincinnati Department of History for contribution to an archive about the coronavirus pandemic and other crises. Since Mr. Anthony has been on the Earth for quite a few years, he has a perspective on crisis and troubling times. So what do you know about the coronavirus?
What do you know about the coronavirus? What's being referred to as the coronavirus is a member of the family with the acronym COVID. It's called corona because of the shape, what the virus looks like, a semicircle corona shape. This particular virus originates in Wuhan, China, where there is a Chinese government, I don't know if it's a military research facility that does virus research. It is a flu. It's like pneumonia. It infects, apparently affects people with who already have other issues, respiratory issues, making them more susceptible to infection and death.
Okay. With the announcement of the pandemic and how virile it is, what do you know about that? Like how much it spreads.
What do I know about? The question is, what do I know about how it spreads?
Well, yeah, that's not one of the official questions, but...
Well, I'm not an epidemiologist. I don't know much about viruses, but I have seen research papers describing how epidemics, pandemics happen, and and of course we don't know how accurate the popular movies are on the subject, but there are a variety of those. There's an initial carrier, and it spreads from them, and it goes out, and then humans are carriers, and apparently, oh yeah, in addition to the answer to the last question, it apparently came from a bat. Now, I don't know how diseases go from bats to humans, but apparently they do. Alright, that's the answer to that question.
You mentioned movies. Are you talking like Contagion and stuff like that?
Well, your brother and I just watched a movie, Outbreak, the other day, and there's Contagion. Stephen King's little 6-hour miniseries called The Stand starts with a worldwide super flu infection that kills most of the people. A few people are immune and they survive to support the rest of the plot for that movie.
Do you think that these movies have shaped like public perception on pandemics? And like in what way?
I think popular movies like this desensitize the public to this sort of phenomena. So yes.
So do you think that these movies are bad, or do you think they're just entertainment?
I think they're entertainment. But if someone were to have an agenda, they could use movies to accomplish a desensitization.
Interesting. All right, so moving on to the next official question. With the pandemic spreading, how have you prepared for this whole, crisis?
With the pandemic spreading, how have I prepared for the pandemic?
Yeah.
I think in general, I have not really prepared for it. Neither has the population in general. Neither has our government in general, nor all governments of the world in general. So I think laying blame to any particular politician is completely unfair. And although realistic, we ought to have expected it.
Do you think that any government could be, or anyone or any government, excuse me, could be prepared for something like this? Or is it just so unpredictable that you can't?
Could be, or should be, or would be? What's the question?
Any of them.
Could be, yes. Should be, probably yes. Would they be? As evidence indicates, no. Most governments and populations are not prepared, some more than others, because it's practically unlikely that people are going to expend resources on something with a low probability. It's a risk-reward thing. So when the low-risk thing finally happens, it's going to have a big impact.
So otherwise, everyone just has to play catch-up when something like that happens.
They have to mitigate, not play catch-up. They're not going to play catch-up. Playing catch-up is too expensive. They're going to mitigate, which is minimize the, currently they're trying to flatten the infection curve. Most of the hospitals are capable of handling the influx of patients that they're going to get. If it was too many people are going to die. If the growth curve is too steep. That's what they call flattening the curve. And it's a growth curve. This is exponential.
You're more on the math side of things, so you would understand more how the exponential expansion works.
Well, one day it's 1, the next day it's 2, the next day it's 4, the next day it's 8, 16, 32. After 30 days, 2 becomes 1,000. After 30 more days, 1,000 becomes 1,000,000. That math might not be right, but so, yeah.
You're just trying to give like idea of how something expands exponentially.
Okay. Well, instead of 30th is 1,000,000. So 30 days becomes 2 becomes 1,000,000. After 60 days, 2 to the 60th power, which is a big number. So my previous statement's incorrect.
So that
curve flattens out on its own because As shown in artificial life experiments in Conway's early game called Life, where things have to have resource, they have to eat. If they don't have anything to eat, they die. So viruses will eventually smooth out because they've run out of victims.
Isn't that the whole idea behind the herd mentality? I'm sorry, herd immunity?
It's about the steady state. The steady state point in growth, things will level out to where there's a balance between resources and
the population that needs those resources. Death and birth will even out. All other things being equal.
This sort of sounds almost Malthusian, the way you described it.
No, that's not Malthusian, it's just science. Birth and light, birth and death will balance out because of the available resources.
Okay, I see.
It's the S-curve.
Anyway, you're saying that, you say that people couldn't prepare for this, so how has the virus...
No, I said they couldn't.
Oh.
I said practically they wouldn't.
Oh, okay. So, since people haven't been prepared for this, like how, this isn't one of the official questions either, just... So, how has this impacted your life in Xenia, Ohio?
Well, I have a research job, which is done in a classified environment, but at currently very little of my research is actually classified, so I can actually do that research and development stuff at home. And actually, my internet resources are actually better at home than at work. And I have a government job, so that's a particular place, military. So that's probably why a research job in academia or a corporate, that problem wouldn't exist. My bandwidth wouldn't really be limited. We're not really under official quarantine. We're just under a minimized kind of guidance. We don't get arrested. We have a can't go out after 10. What's that? A curfew. So I'm doing work from home, and I don't have to drive to work. I can don't have to spend money going out to restaurants for lunch. I have better resources here at home, and not spending money buying coffee at the coffee bar. We're going out to lunch, so it's less travel, spending less money, it's more productive.
I know, I'm saving a lot of money on gas now, going to UC all the time.
So in numerous ways, it's better. Although I have more distractions.
I can't imagine. You really love your dog. You really love your dog. Alright, so, moving on to the next official question.
Four?
This is three.
Three?
Yeah. I know, I've asked a lot of questions. So before we were looking at like the more micro level of how it impacted you and whether or not things could, and maybe how anyone could be prepared for this. So looking at a larger scale, how do you think this pandemic will change society? And what do you think will stay the same? What do you think will change?
I'm writing the question down because it gives me time to think about my answer. How do I think this will change society? How could it change society? How will it change society? And how will it change society in the short term or the long term? In the short term, it's definitely going to have an economic impact. And that's going to already my retirement fund, which is mostly in the government C fund. Actually, it's more specific than that, but it's common stock investments has gone down 25 to 30%, and that's maybe at least $100,000 in my retirement fund. Is of course, it's just paper money, so it doesn't really exist. You have to actually have it, and So if I wanted to get back to the same level, maybe I work longer, I don't know. Whether that is a permanent economic impact, it depends. Depends on how long the current social distancing and the stay home, work at home if you can, stays in place for that impact. But so the economic, it's disrupting supply chains, and some of those supply chains are going to have to be completely rebuilt. Long term, depends how it's what happens. I think like you say, this is an experiment in work at home kind of scenarios. I think that will likely increase. Part of this, Denise and I were talking just yesterday about lots of people having in effect homeschooling now because classes are done online, and maybe they'll discover that works better than, it's cheaper than paying for daycare. I think the jury is still out, but they're being of the conspiratorial ilk that I am. One could see agendas at work, and if governments, for those governments which like to be in control, they're in control a little bit more this time, and they might decide they like it.
Kind of like a libertarian's nightmare.
I don't know about libertarian's nightmare, what you mean by that.
Government taking more control, libertarians.
Well, that's not just a libertarian nightmare, it's a lot of people's nightmare.
True. So you mentioned that this whole thing has been an experiment with work from home. And you mentioned how you have had generally a positive experience in it.
Well, except that I know in anticipation of something like this, I actually paid to increase home bandwidth. But in actuality, my access seems to be spotty and flaky more to the effect now. And I attributed that maybe the, in my case, Time Warner Spectrum, I don't really think they engineered their network well enough to accommodate the load. Should they have? Probably. Did they? No. We build things for the likely use, not the worst case use, because that's more money.
And that kind of goes back to how prepared people and
so we don't build cars things. Like they used to with quarter inch metal. It's now like a 16th and 1/8 inch metal. So when they get in collisions, they're more likely to be totaled. Versus the tanks that would go around the 30s and 40s and 50s.
All right. So, moving on to question number 4.
Official question number 4.
Yeah. What other crises have you experienced, and how did they affect you?
What other crises have I experienced? And how have they affected me?
Mm-hmm.
I'll answer the second part first. Crises are growth opportunities, and they build character in people. Or at least they should. people should learn fundamental and reliable truths on which to base their lives, their belief structures through crises. They learn who they depend on, who their friends are, who their enemies are, who reliable people are, who are unreliable. They should learn what are silly life practices, what are good life practices. Okay, that part, and I could go on and on, but I'm not. So back to part A. Life crises. I'll talk about a few personal life crises. There's the crises of miscarriages. Now, I'm not the one who had the miscarriage, so I didn't suffer like Denise did, but the husband still does go through stuff. Of death of my father, grandfathers, death of friends. Those are crises. There are more general crises, like, I watched the 9/11 things. I heard about the first tower, an airplane, on the radio, and I watched the second tower on live TV in a room at work, and I knew this changed things. And that changed. That was like about 4 or 5 or 6 years of different things there. You have to learn. So I think a person, not now kind of shifting back to the answer B again. So you have to go through a crisis to understand how to go through a crisis. All things pass. Nothing's never the same, but all things pass, and life moves on. You have to go through things to be adapt, to be flexible, to have the patience to go through them. Probably gonna wake up the next morning. Might have less money in your retirement account. Might be not driving to work or working at your newly and hastily rearranged home office. But life goes on, and it's not about convenience to the status quo. Just because parts of my daily routine have changed, I don't derive my security from my daily routine. And if you do, it'll probably break you. But if I don't, I don't.
That actually reminds me of a book that's out there. There's this concept called anti-fragility, which is basically in crises, you get stronger.
It's true too. If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. There's truth to that. That's true in diseases too.
So that's all there is for the official questions. Did you want to go back to one of them to talk about any of them?
No, I could write. I could write compositions on some of these questions. Ramble on why it's happened and how it happened, and yeah, I could go on and on. Well, I'm satisfied, I guess.
It's all it's all very complicated it's all a very complicated situation, and I think that we're all learning to adjust more as a society and personally too. So, thank you for your time.
About 28 minutes?
Mm-hmm. That's all right. All right.